Hi, I'm Bill Goodrich, president of Horizon University. Are you interested in completing your college degree from a Christ-centered, biblically integrated, and fully accredited university? In associate and bachelor degree programs designed for students to excel in their professions as they win and disciple others for Christ in business and ministry. For a theologically sound, affordable, and accredited college institution, visit horizonuniversity.edu and start earning your degree. Excellent teaching today for the leaders of tomorrow.
Faith is not a passive resignation of life. It is the confidence that God will fulfill His promises and will carry out His promises as He has stated them in the Bible. It's a promise that He will do.
Come and see what God has done. Come and see of His great love. Come and hear the story of God's own Son as we hear the pages turn. Journey through the Word.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Such a blessing. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll get into the Word today in a devotional sense. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand. This past week, we had pastors and their wives. We do this once a year from the Great Lakes area, the Calvary Chapels. They came in here. Thank you, everyone that volunteered and helped out on this. It was just a tremendous time. I stood before you last Sunday and with the intention that week to go into Mark chapter 13 as we would wrap up that chapter, then we can get into Mark chapter 14. But I was grappling with an area in Scripture that I've taught on it before, but it's just an area that's like I'm just going through. I just want to see. I want clarity. I figured this week I'd be able to get away and really dive into that, and I did in certain ways, but then the pastor's conference didn't give me my normal Thursday and Friday and definitely not my Saturday just to go where I wanted to go. So I woke up this morning. I struggled last night. I had a wedding after all the pastors left, and it was a great wedding. It was a great time. If we could put up the screens, please, put a little, some more light in here, please, if we could do that. And then so after the wedding, I just got alone, was doing it, trying to go through, and I just didn't settle in my heart. And I didn't feel this morning when I woke up, I thought, Lord, I'm just not settled in my heart in this area. And so what do you want me to do? And I tried to plow through it and try to see it a little bit more. And then I just felt that I wasn't supposed to try to do that. So at that point, it's about 30 minutes before I'm supposed to come over here. And I just said, Lord, what do you want me to do? So I was sitting in my chair, and I'll tell you real quickly, I got on my knees. I did. I'm telling myself, I got on my knees, and I said, what do you want then, Lord? If I don't have permission to go forward with this because it just wasn't settled in my heart, and I'll have to work on that this week because it had to do with the return of the Lord. And it's a very important issue in that way. So he just said, talk about the meaning of faith. So by faith, I believe I'm where I'm supposed to be. Is that okay? And we're going to be, faith can't hurt us. A message on faith cannot hurt us. So if you guys wouldn't mind just being patient with me on this. But I went back to the archives years and years and years ago. And it's way back there. And so I didn't create this message just in 30 minutes. It's someone I'd studied. But just looking at it in a devotional sense, the meaning of faith. 30 years ago, I was reflecting upon this. Vi and I were in San Diego, California on a soccer field. And we were standing there watching, I believe it was my oldest son, Jeremy, play soccer. And right there, we both looked at each other, and it was a strange thing. But we were right there, and I believe it was the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we just knew that we knew that we knew that our time in San Diego was finished, that He was moving us on. You know, it's an interesting thing when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He truly does. And so right there, we're there, and we looked at each other, and we both had the same, we're finished here. But we wanted to be sure, so we got away and went up to the mountains and we prayed and came to the end on that on Sunday evening. And we joined hands and we said, Lord, we believe that you're moving us. We believe that. See, it was drying up like Elijah was at the brook. Remember in Scripture where Elijah was there? The water supply was there and he sent ravens to bring bread to him. But then when God wanted to move, he dried up that brook and then the ravens stopped coming. And that's how what we were experiencing that at that point. So we went away and prayed, came to the end of that Sunday, as I said. We joined hands and said, Lord, we're people under authority. Mike McIntosh is our pastor. You can speak to him if that's what you're doing. And so I had a meeting scheduled with him that following Friday. I walked into his office. I sat down. He leaned back in his chair and he said, Bill, I don't know how I'm supposed to tell you this, but I think you're supposed to move on. You know, at that point, he was running on the beach that morning, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, Bill's supposed to move on. And I said, great, Mike, that's what God is doing in our hearts. And then came the trial from there. What do you do? Where do we go? When do we do it? How does it all work? You know, you get like that, and the walk of faith continues. It just continues in that way. By faith, we knew we were to leave. By faith, we put everything in a Hertz Penske truck. By faith, we put our car that we were towing on the back of that truck the wrong way. We really did. We put it on the wrong. We left and the tire just skidded all the way. And then the people who were with us go, we did it the wrong way. Okay, all right. You know, I looked at Vi and I said, we're not supposed to leave San Diego, right? No. And so we just came. And we're no people of giant faith by any means. We're people just like you. That God wants us to move in faith. And he teaches us the meaning of faith as we live with him, we walk with him, and we see what he's doing in our lives. There is nothing more exciting than walking with God. Have you guys ever heard that before from me? Would you agree? There is nothing more exciting. We can be at the mountaintop like this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday with all these pastors, but we can sure quickly be at the valley. Where do we grow the most? In the valley. That's where we grow the most. Doesn't mean there's always going to be trials in the valley, but there can be trials. Thank the Lord for the mountaintops. That's an encouragement. We do grow there too. But it's a constant walk of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, I asked you to turn there and notice in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What a powerful, powerful verse. Faith is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It's going to happen. We don't know how it's going to happen. It's outside of what we understand, but it's the movement of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God Himself who lives inside of us. He lives inside of us, and He wants to speak to us, and He instructs us by this thing called faith, this reality called faith. As we see, faith is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. Now, see, hope for us as Christians is different than, golly, I hope this happens. It's my hope, my understanding is that this is going to happen. Then I have to learn to walk in it. I learned that I understand faith, but then he says, okay, now I want you to walk in it so it really becomes real in your life. It's interesting when we raise children and we raise them and while they're young, that we can plow into their hearts and we can teach them the truth of scriptures, but it comes to that point where it's going to have to become their own. It's called teenage years. And you watch them, and it's a big struggle. It really is, because the world is real. The things that go on in their mind is complicated. But they must come to that point that faith becomes real to them, and the hope in Jesus Christ becomes real. Faith is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. Scripture tells us there. Faith is not a passive resignation to life. Like fate. Okay, I'm just going to let fate take its place. You ever hear that? Fate will take its place. Well, I don't know much about fate any longer. But I know about faith in that God is moving in the midst of our lives. Faith, it is the confidence that God will fulfill His promises and will carry out His promises as He has stated them in the Bible. Black and white, there it is. Red and white, there it is. Jesus said that I am going to leave, but I will come back. And I will come back to you. And while I'm gone, I'm going to prepare a special place for you. And then when I come back, I'm going to take you to be where I am. How many believe that? We believe that. It's red and white. Maybe your Bible doesn't have it in red. So it's black and white. But it's the words of Jesus Christ. Faith is not a passive resignation of life. It is the confidence that God will fulfill His promises and will carry out His promises as He has stated them in the Bible. It's a promise that He will do. 30 years ago, we just pulled out of San Diego. Not too many years after that, within a year after that, we were in a situation where God just spoke and He said, "Now I've given you permission to shepherd my sheep." And so five people showed up in our apartment, on a Wednesday night, five people. God gave us permission to do that, right, Jim and Claudia? Just showed up a little right in that time in our lives there. He gave us permission to shepherd His sheep. So we began to do that with five people. And then all of a sudden, some people showed up in what happened is we were doing that on Wednesday nights, and we would go to different churches in Indianapolis here on Sunday morning. So they would call me on Saturday night, "Where are we going to go, Bill? We'll go with you, these five people. We'll meet you at the church, whatever you want to do." And that's what we would do. We just got a good education about churches in Indianapolis during that period of time. So one Saturday, they call me and say, "Where are you going?" And I just said, "I'm not going anywhere. I just don't feel led to go anywhere." And so they said, "Okay, we'll come over and we'll feed you breakfast and you feed us the Word." That was on a Sunday morning. So after we did that, the breakfast was great. The Word of God was okay. No, it was good. It was good. And then they looked at me and they said, "We want to meet next Sunday. Will you do this next Sunday?" And I looked at them and I just saw this silly grin on their face and I said, "We are not starting a church." I hadn't got permission to do that. "Oh, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that." So the next Sunday, okay, all right, we'll do that. And we came back and lo and behold, we continued to meet on Sunday mornings, and then all of a sudden we kind of outgrew the apartment. That's where we met, in our apartment. That's simple. That's all it was, is the Word of God. Then we went to the clubhouse brought the kids into our apartment, and went to the clubhouse. And then the Lord took us over eventually to Colonial Hills Baptist Church facility, or the old one. And I remember I was just riding down the street on Keystone, riding down, and I was aware of the building somehow, that it was there, and they had built a new building. That old building was there, and I was playing in my mind, where do we go after the clubhouse? We were growing out of the clubhouse, and where do we go? And it was just like the still, small voice in my heart said, "Go over and ask him. Go over and ask the pastor." Well, really, Lord? Really? I know who we are, and I know who they are. They're a very conservative group of people from a very strict denomination, and so I knew that we were a little different. We believe that the gifts are for today and all that, and going over there. So I went over, and sure enough, I met with Pastor Heller, and very nice man. And first thing out of his mouth, he said, "Do you believe in speaking in tongues?" And I thought, short interview. Short interview. And I said, "Well, sir, if you're asking me if I believe that the gifts are for today, the answer is yes." And he said, "Okay, we'll rent it to you." It was interesting. The Holy Spirit just showed, don't let tongues be an issue. It's an issue so much in the body of Christ. But the gifts, he couldn't fight with that for some reason, I guess. And then I said to him, "Well, sir, how much would you rent?" And he said, "We'll let you in the basement." And I've already seen the basement. And remember the walls? Mildew, stinky, dirty. It rained. It flooded. It was awful, And he said, "I'll give you the basement, But what about up top, the sanctuary up there? But the Lord didn't want us there. He wanted us just to learn some lessons. And I said, "Okay, well, all right. How much do you want for this stinky old," I didn't say stinky, but in my mind, "this basement, okay?" And he said, $700 or $750 a month. And I looked at him and I said, $700 a month? And he just looked at me and he said, "Yes, young man, where's your faith?" And I wanted to say, "Where's yours, sir?" But I held back. I did held back. So you guys have heard that story, but it's good. We're coming up on 30 years being here as a fellowship, moving simply by faith. There's board members in our church right now here in our service. They know we move by faith. You guys know that we move by faith to see what God will do in our lives. It is exciting to move by faith. In the New Testament in general, faith is spoken as the word of faith. We can see that. I'm not talking about the word of faith movement. We can't make things happen because we speak them. Go away from that. Run as far as you can from that. That's not biblical. But there is the word of faith. God is the word. Amen? Jesus is the word. And what he says, then we stand on it, and then we move forward in faith because that is what he is going to do. And then he speaks to our hearts. And the Bible talks about the law of faith. There is a law of faith. Scripture reveals that in Romans chapter 3, verse 27. There is the obedience of faith. Today, in a practical way, God may be speaking to someone here today, and this message is very important for you because he's asking you to be obedient. I find faith and obedience right there, joining hands. They work together, you know, and we step out as he shows us to do that, the obedience of faith. One day, a long time ago, on the south property over there, we used to have an old Ford tractor. Craig, did you ever remember that tractor? Yeah, we had that old Ford tractor. It came when we were able to be on the property here and purchase the property. And it had a bush hog on the back. So I was out there with my little farmer hat on, and I was cutting the grass, riding back and forth. And I had just learned that behind the amphitheater over there, 30 feet behind the amphitheater, it didn't belong to us. I thought all this area with the trees there belonged to us. And I go, wait a minute. Then I had found out that it was zoned for condominiums, from what I was told. And I thought, no, we don't want condominiums in our backyard. So I'm going, then I'm just riding, I'm thinking about that. And the Holy Spirit says, I want you to pray that that 10 acres will be delivered into your hands. Okay, Lord, I'll do that. It wasn't a big audible voice. You know how it is? He speaks to you guys about faith. So we began then to be obedient to what I felt he was requiring of us in faith. Okay, I'll pray. I'll pray. And sure enough, one time there was a knock on the church door, and the Bakers who owned it came over and said, would you consider buying this property? And I said, yep, I will. How much you want for it? Well, that's a little more than $100. I want to buy it for $100. That didn't work. The obedience of faith, and we were able to just obey the Lord. The righteousness, which is by faith, that the Scripture tells us. There's a life of faith. You and I are living a life of faith. Amen? Has anybody seen Jesus face to face? I mean, in a real physical way. Anybody here been to heaven and back? No. It's by faith. We're living a life of faith. We know that there's this reality that's beyond us, and we're waiting by faith to get to that place. That's a life of faith, a walk of faith, the prayer offered. We offer prayers in faith. There's the work produced by faith. As we walk in faith, it produces the work, and we just believe what he will do. I am so thankful for 30 years. Thank you guys for being a... But I'm not satisfied, are you? I want God to stir us up. He's got us here in this 30th year praying for revival. Don't you want to be revived? Revived in prayer, revived in praise, revived in purity, revived in the passion for the lost, revived in standing upon the principles of the Word of God. I want to see the fruit of revival in our lives. Rejoicing, rejection of idols, return to leadership in that way, and the prosperity in a very spiritual way that God would bring into our lives. Amen. Let it be so, Lord. There's the walk in faith, the prayers offered in faith, the work produced by faith, but there is the battle of faith. Is it not true? Faith. Faith. I'm there in Masada in Israel, okay? And there on Masada, if you haven't been there, it falls off, okay? And we're there and having a catch up there. And by faith, I had to believe that this guy there, Paul, wouldn't miss my throw over there because it was going to go over the edge if he did. By faith, I trusted you that way, Paul. And it worked out. We walked off there with the ball. That's stupid. Okay, that doesn't make sense anyway. There was a battle of faith going on. I didn't know if I could trust him. But there is the end of faith. What's the end of faith? Mm-hmm. The end of faith. What's the end of our faith? Victory. What's the? Somebody's probably saying it, but I just can't. Huh? Sight? Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's the end of our faith. We'll be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. But it's a walk of faith, isn't it? Faith is the substance of hope, things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Throughout Scripture, we see that the believer can become strong in faith, can become grounded and established in the faith, may stand fast in the faith, may be full of faith, can be on the road to a deeper faith in God. For some reason, the meaning of faith we were to consider today. And listen to all the different ways here in verse 11 or verse 1 of chapter 11. Faith is the substance. Listen how that can be put into other words there. Means assurance. Means an expectation. An enduring trust. It means to have the title deed. Paul was talking about that when a car is paid off, when it now belongs to us. Realization, guarantee. See, all these things, but it's important to us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence means the conviction, the confidence, or the proof based on evidence. Faith is both an act and a possession of the thing believed. I'll say that again. Faith is both an act and a possession of the thing, believed. Faith is trusting and possessing all that God is and says. Faith is believing and possessing all that God is and says. Faith is having confidence in and possessing all that God is and says. Faith is hoping for something and possessing it because God, in other words, He exists and He's promised it to be so. It's wonderful to walk by faith, isn't it? But it sure is challenging. Lord, do you really want us to go this direction? Is this what you really want in our lives? You know, faith is many things, but this is what it's not. Faith is not, I think so, I hope so. Faith is not, it may be so, or it may not be so. That's not faith. Faith is, it might be true, it is not, it might be true, or it might not be true. Faith is solid. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, in Scripture, there's an argument for faith. We find it in Scripture in Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Turn with me there, please. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. In verse 16 of Romans chapter 4, it says, "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of nations." God speaking to Abraham. "In the presence of him whom he believed," God, "who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who," verse 18, "Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not consider the child wouldn't come through him." And the Bible says, ultimately, he didn't doubt. He did not waver, verse 20, "at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he," God, "had promised, he was also able to perform." What is God speaking to our hearts today? What by faith is he trying to move? Can we believe him? Can we trust him? There's the argument for faith, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. And we see that there in that scripture, Romans chapter 4, verse 16. But we also saw in this passage the source of Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith was in God alone. The strength of Abraham's faith, it's simple. Abraham hung on to hope. What are we hoping about today? What are we hoping? We just know it. Abraham was not weak in his faith. Abraham did not waver in his faith. Abraham was fully convinced in his faith that God could do what he could do. You know, I love the scripture. I love doing a Bible study in faith. I really do. It's challenging to my heart. There's some general comments I'd like to close the message with this morning concerning faith. Faith assures spiritual success. It assures it. Because scripture says this in Luke 8:50. But when Jesus heard it, he said to him, saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." As we believe, as God moves us, what does he have in our hearts today, in your hearts today? What's growing around in your mind that he's speaking to you? I call it a wonderment. A lot of times he gives a wonderment. It's just a wonderment. Lord, do you really want us on 88 acres? We're less than 100 people. We have $20,000 in the bank, and they want $1.3 million. They're not interested in leasing. They're not interested in doing anything. They just want their money, those dirty dogs. No. Do you really? Is that what you really, really want? Well, it really was what he wanted, but it sure was a stretch of faith. But there was success because we were able to walk in that faith. Faith is the Christian's fundamental duty. Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent." Faith is an offensive weapon in 1 Timothy 6:12. It says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Faith is the indispensable element in life because it says in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Faith is powerful, isn't it? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is essential in prayer. James says this, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." I can honestly say I doubt, but I fight through the battle to get to that place if it's really the Lord. And if it's the Lord, I find his voice. And it's the same with you guys. We find his voice. And then we go, "Okay, you are speaking." We're going to, by faith, stay right there. We're going to operate and we're going to make decisions according to that. And then faith should be united in love. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11 again, just real quickly. I pray that this message has been a blessing, but yet it's a challenge for all of us. But by faith, notice in verse 4, Abel did what he did. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Then verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of these things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. Then on verse 11, by faith Sarah. And then, as we go through there very quickly, we go again to verse 17, by faith, Abraham. Then by faith, verse 20, Isaac. By faith, verse 21, Jacob. By faith, 22, Joseph. They didn't see it, but they moved by faith like you and I. By verse 23, by faith, Moses, right there. And his parents that we see, faith in the midst of that. By faith, verse 30, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. All these lessons of faith. And notice then, beginning in verse 32, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to the flight the enemies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourging, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented." Isn't it a wonderful life to be a Christian? By faith, it says there, "of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and all these having obtained a good testimony." How's it say? How they received a good testimony there, verse 39? Through faith. did not receive the promise. But then I love verse 1 of chapter 12. Therefore, we also, he includes us, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. May this be a challenge for us this morning. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There it is. It's all about Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, simple study. The meaning of faith. I pray that it's a blessing, and I pray, and let's pray together, let's stand together, and let's ask the Lord that He would take us into new and exciting areas of faith. Amen?
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.